of this recording, Australia 33, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Karma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, I live in Los Angeles these days, but I grew up in Adelaide in South Australia. It's very different from LA. It was quite a quiet town to grow up in, I guess. I think there's about 1 million people there when I was growing up, which is a decent size, but it was always considered to be a big country town. So it was a nice place to grow up as a kid. It was, you know, always something to keep you entertained, but you know, you had to make your own fun at the same time quite a bit, and it was safe, and you know, we lived in the suburbs, but we were 5 minutes out of the city, which is, yeah. When I was really young, I loved playing in the backyard, swimming, playing cricket. Mum had a veggie patch out the back as well, so, you know, playing around in that. And then when I got a bit older, I started riding BMX. I really liked riding BMX. I did that for several years. I was always interested in acting. I would do that throughout school and do productions and stuff like that. And then got sort of more heavily into music when I started playing guitar when I was 15 and started singing. And I mean, those became really my main focus and my main sort of hobby. I had a friend of my sister's teach me the open chords and teach me how to read tab. And I mean, really, if you can read tab and someone's given you the basics and you enjoy it enough, I think you can teach yourself how to play if you've got a bit of an ear. And I'd played some other instruments before, and I sort of had a way of working out how to learn a song if there was a part I couldn't play, because I'd done that with other instruments. So yeah, I don't even know how many, if it was months or what, of lessons to begin with, but not for that long. And I fell in love with it. I wanted to play every day. So, you know, yeah, taught myself from there, really. I remember Mum and Dad suggesting that, you know, if I was going to keep singing, that maybe I should get some singing lessons. So I was probably 15 and a half or 16 or something like that. And started getting singing lessons. And it was just down the road. A friend of my mum's had a pop singing studio.